Visit Plain Ridge Park Casino this spring for all the playoff hoops and hockey action and the return of baseball. They've got the biggest screens, the best food and drink, plus they're giving away Penn Cash bonuses and prizes to Penn Play Rewards members. Not a member? Join today by downloading and registering for the Penn Play app from the App Store. Unlock all the fun, including a chance to win up to $2,000 in Penn Cash. All this and more. Make Plain Ridge Park Casino your spring sports viewing headquarters. Must be 21 plus. Play it smart from the start. Live chat at GameSenseMA.com. Hope is here. 800-327-5050 or GamblingHelplineMA.org.
Now. Sports Talk. While you're on the clock, this is Zulak and Bertrand.
We're sports show radio hosts.
On 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Some reports about a FaceTime phone call that was made between a man during a car stop. After that car stop, police recovered a significant amount of drugs. And during the car stop, the suspect claimed that one of the items found in his vehicle belonged to Hamley Ramirez and then FaceTimed him in front of the police. So I can only speak to what I know in my reporting for the last couple of days on, you know, the suspect and his connection to Hamley Ramirez raised some eyebrows among the state and federal officials who have been part of this long and continuing ongoing investigation.
Does this suspect have a long rap sheet?
I don't know that much about the suspect other than on June 8th, he was arraigned in connection with having 435 grams of fentanyl along with a large amount of crack cocaine.
Noon time hour here on Zolak and Bertrand. Hardy sliding over for Zoe today. That was the voice of Michelle McPhee. Michelle was on with Big Jim Murray Friday night after this story was first reported by her. This is the strange case of Hamley Ramirez and his friend who's into trafficking fentanyl. Yep, that's right. Hamley Ramirez, who played for the Red Sox, has a friend who was traveling from New York to Boston with a box of fentanyl in the back of his Jeep. Michelle McPhee has this update that she tweeted within the last hour. The identity of accused drug dealer who shared a FaceTime conversation with former Red Sox player Hanley Ramirez during a traffic stop that led to his indictment, this being the drug dealer, on charges of possession of 400 grams or more of fentanyl, confirmed. She then adds in this tweet that the U.S. District Attorney for Massachusetts has asked me not to ID the dealer for his safety. Hashtag CW, meaning cooperating witness, I assume.
I was thinking it was the old television network.
Nope, but, okay. I don't think so. Right. I think the CW is cooperating witness.
Okay.
Michelle McPhee then tweeted again.
I didn't know.
That the U.S. District Attorney and their prosecutors filed a motion to seal the entire case. The alleged suspect who contacted Hanley Ramirez during the traffic stop was previously convicted on drug charges in New York City in 2009, per court records. Prosecutors asked that his identity not be released for his safety. So they are now looking to seal the case, protect the identity of the individual who was pulled over. In the story that was put out by the Globe last night, Shelley Murphy, Evan Allen, the lawyer for the individual who has been indicted, would not even give his name. The lawyer didn't want to give his own personal name because he said, if you publish my name, this could reveal the identity of who my client is, and we need to keep the client's name out of this because he fears for his personal safety. Gee, for a guy who just randomly found a box of fentanyl on the streets in the Bronx, that's his story. Why would he fear for his safety?
Did he?
If he's not working for or with anybody, or he's not part of any larger scheme, why would he be fearing for his safety, Artie? Oh, because he's a drug dealer. Maybe that's why.
Okay, how about drug runner?
Drug runner, whatever it is. He's part of a larger drug operation, is what it comes down to.
And based what little I know about fentanyl, yeah, that's an obscene amount to be transporting. It's so bad on so many levels. The drug itself, the amount going across state lines, is so much.
Fentanyl is a substance that pisses people off in a big way.
Yeah,
it makes people angry. talking about the damage it does, how dangerous it is, how many deaths have occurred as a result of it. And it makes people angry. Hell, it's made the president angry enough to say that those who are convicted of trafficking in it should be put to death. That's his take on it.
Okay.
But it elicits a certain reaction from people because of its dangers.
It'll be executed by the Space Force.
Because of how dangerous it is.
It's dangerous.
Because how damaging it is.
It's dangerous to the cops. It's dangerous to the, you were talking earlier
Police dogs.
Just happened last Thursday in Hyannis. A state police trooper was exposed to it.
Right. It can be absorbed through your skin. And you. There have been police officers who have absorbed this through their skin during a search and have then needed Narcan to be brought back after being exposed to this stuff. It is a chemically engineered synthetic opiate. It is used in medicine for people who are basically about to die. You know, terminally ill people use this in much smaller amounts. And that's Hanley's buddy, who he FaceTimes with, his convicted drug dealer friend, who is, again, not just a guy who had his bag of books that he claims was a box of books for Hanley Ramirez, but no, his convicted drug dealer friend.
But Peter,
is who it was.
How many people do you know that would call you, especially if they were up against it, right? Let's, you know, bring it down many, many levels of fame, notoriety, and influence here. Go from Hanley Ramirez to you. But how many knucklehead friends do you have that if you were maybe a more important, powerful, and wealthy person would drop your name?
Wait, a lot of qualifiers here. If you had money, if you had idiot friends,
if you had
have your number, it might call you.
Pretend for a moment that you had money and people liked you. Okay,
which none of that is true.
I know, but you have to. That's why we got to make believe here.
Okay,
how many people have your phone number that have acquired it over the years? I mean, FaceTime isn't like some secret
code. I get a new number maybe once a week. I'd prefer to burn the phones. I do what Tom Brady does.
You
get rid of my phones all the time.
Well, I have my people do it. I got my guy who destroy my phone for me.
He wipes it, then he smashes it with a sledgehammer out in the garage.
Then he burns it with fire.
I don't know, Hardy. I can't relate to this story. I'm having a hard time relating to this one.
Yeah, because you got a hard time relating to having as much money and hangers-on as somebody like Hanley Ramirez does. And somebody who gets popped and he panics and he goes, this is going to be my out. This is going to be my story. I'm traveling to Boston to deliver a box of books via personal courier to Hanley Ramirez. Watch, I'll do it right now. Now, it says that he FaceTimed him as a means to demonstrate to the cops. Was that, we don't know if that was his idea or if it's the cops saying, oh, they're really for Hanley? Oh, and you claim to have this number that says Hanley Ramirez on your phone? Well, let's do this. Let's FaceTime him so we can see that's actually who it is, because all you got to do is plug a name in your phone, and that doesn't prove it's necessarily him. But if we can see him and we can speak to him ourselves, and that way we'll know if this story holds any water whatsoever, so maybe it's the cop's
idea.
Listen,
I'm not holding Hanley Ramirez guilty for any of this, but I'm just saying
if
the Red Sox wanted to move on from him anyway and then this happened, how easy does their decision come? How easy does it get to arrive at this one?
And that part
okay. Well, we were thinking about letting him go anyway. And now his buddies are getting caught up in fentanyl busts and they're calling him. And you've got a state trooper on the phone FaceTiming with a current member of the Red Sox after he busts a guy who's trafficking fentanyl. We don't want to hang on for that story to be public. Let's get rid of him right now.
And
goodbye.
That, and that part I agree with.
Yeah, that's all I'm saying.
They knew about this right away. But when you classify it just in a snippet, in a soundbite, is saying Hanley's FaceTime buddy, guy who he's close enough to FaceTime with, is in the... Okay, well, let's just be clear what we're talking about here. If that is how it's going to be perceived by anybody, then yes, it makes it that much easier for the Red Sox to cut bait with this guy. Just cut him loose, designate him. He's not playing well anyway. Don't have to pay him the money next year. And, oh, by the way, this story is going to come out at some point. Whether we don't think he has any connection to it, I don't think he has any connection to it.
Oh, but find better friends. My God. Why are you still taking calls from that guy? Really? What are you doing?
Maybe he didn't know he was involved with it.
He's a convicted drug dealer, by the way. 2009, New York. I don't know if you... That's now one that you could put in there, too. It's not like you can claim ignorance. I didn't know he was a drug dealer.
What are you going to do, background checks on everybody that you talk to
background
on the phone
checks?
Now?
It's a friend of his that he apparently grew up with in the DR that's been convicted of being a drug dealer.
I know a couple of convicted people. I talked to one just last week. Doesn't mean you stop taking their calls. Accepting gifts from them on occasion.
But really, what do you have to lose? I mean, that's sort of the case for us.
Well,
the hell do we have to lose?
I do have a few people who like me. I got that over you.
Yeah, well, good for you. Congratulations. I'm real proud of you.
We're both broke, but at least I can name two people who would begrudgingly admit that they don't mind my company.
I don't know that the same can be said for me. Joe is in the car. Joe.
Give me lemonade.
Joe! Okay. Paulie in the truck. Paulie.
Hey, I guess it wasn't 0 for 21, huh? Maybe that was just a very small part of it. Wow.
Oh, yeah. Anyway. He was 0 for 21 up until the point when he was designated. Yeah, I got
just,
you. Yeah,
just about to go 0 for 22 before he received $22 million. It's no on Kovalchuk. He's too old over the hill. He wants too much money. He's going to come back from Russia. They're probably paying him peanuts over there for a quick kill. That's what he's looking for. He's out for the money. Screw him.
No, he was making a ton of money in Russia.
He made a ton of money over there, though.
Huge money.
Well, probably not quite enough to satisfy him, I'll tell you. Yeah, the government was probably taking most of it from him.
That's a real thing over there, so I don't doubt that.
You know? So no one Krejci as well. I mean, you know I've been looking to get rid of him for about a year now. He's hurt too much anyway, which is a sign of his age. He's hurt half the time. He's hurt way too often. And he slowed down a peg, so he's not getting it done, especially at crunch time. Number three, Tavares, I'm all in on Tavares. All in on him. And Hardy, what the hell are you talking about? Chris Kelly? You love Chris Kelly?
Oh, that's his boy.
You must have loved Jimmy Hayes. Are you sure you're from Detroit?
You must have loved Jimmy Hayes. That's a put down.
I enjoyed what Chris Kelly did away from the puck. I thought he created. I thought he was instrumental in the success and the, dare I say, stat padding of some of his line mates over his time in Boston. And he was a fine player. And, Beetle, let's not look past the fact, great guy in the room.
Yes!
He was a great
guy
in the room. Team leader.
What the hell does that mean? You don't pay for that.
It means that people like them.
Great guy, a great guy in the room. That's what they say about David Backes. Great for the room. Great.
Like guys were good in the room.
Love it. That's what you're into. You're into the room. 617-779-0985. What?
Kovalchuk was set to earn as much as $15 to $20 million per season.
Yeah, but then he's going to play like the Russian mob tax.
Yeah. Oh, that was back in 2013. So he was, it was believed.
The contract there was up, though. He was done.
Yeah, he was up, but he was making huge money there. So I can only assume that he could have gotten a comparable amount had he stayed in Russia. Why is he not staying there?
The Russian mob tax. Now he only has to pay American taxes.
That's the least of your worries there, man.
Oh, yes.
They put you in jail for no reason.
Yeah. Yep. We'll get to more of your calls. Obviously, some hockey thoughts in the mix today on the Bruins, on the Tavares news that they are going to get a meeting. The Hanley story, the bizarre Hanley story. Fentanyl on the side of the road and a FaceTime call with a Massachusetts state trooper. Wow. There's that, the Bruins, J.D. Martinez, and, of course, the appeal for Julian Edelman. We're talking about all of it with you on Zolak and Bertrand.
Just because you're at work doesn't mean you have to miss a story. Zolak and Bertrand on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Six 617-779-0985. Let's try Joe in the car again. Joe, you there?
Yeah, I'm here.
Go ahead.
All right, so I think there actually might be some validity to the story of him actually finding it, because now if somebody's going to make a drop with a bunch of drugs and they leave it somewhere, somebody's supposed to come and pick that up. Now if this guy finds it, those people who dropped it off are going to want to find out who took it because they owe some money. Now if they gave it to him, they already know who they gave it to, So why would they need the courts or you guys to say their name when they know who they gave the box to?
I'm going to double check your work on that. I'm Googling dropping off fentanyl right now to see if that is the standard procedure. You just have a box with like 5 pounds of it and you just drop it somewhere. Is it? No, I can't find any confirmation on that, Beatle. I'm not sure.
I changed the story multiple times.
Generally how it goes.
He originally said that he was earning extra money by taking the drugs to Lawrence and that he didn't know exactly who the drugs were for, that he was just the middleman. He was just the runner. Then he said he had found the box outside of a building in the Bronx and had stolen it, and that he then repackaged them, put them in the box, and was driving them to Lawrence specifically to look for a buyer. What was he doing in the Bronx out of the blue? Right. He was on a drug run. He's a convicted drug dealer.
Going for pizza.
Right. Right. So, come on. We all know. I get what he's saying, though. If that story was real, that he had found them, he would then be trying to hide his identity because the people he had stolen them from would then know who he was. So I get it. Okay. Nobody believes that, though.
No.
Tom in Pembroke. Tom.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
What's up?
So I don't know. Shame on me if this has not come up yet, but isn't David Krejci have a no movement clause on his contract?
Yes, he does.
Oh, he does. So how are we going to get him to waive that?
You tell me you don't want him anymore. Most players will waive it.
You think he's gonna waive that? Who's gonna pay 7.2 a year for him to play? He's not a 7.2 a year guy.
Well, as Beatle said, somebody who maybe is in danger of approaching the basement in terms of what you have to spend.
Or just someone who hasn't been able to get a good player and needs a good player and is willing to pay for one.
He's a good player.
He's much easier to move than Backes. Yeah, and the ask will be next to nothing if they're going to get Tavares. What? What are you laughing at?
Let's have to pick on Backes. Just leave it alone. I'm going to move Backes so we don't have to talk about it. But the idea of moving Krejci, I think there are, like you said, there are plenty of teams who could use him, and there are other teams who would say, well, he's a good player, and it will help us get to where we need to be salary-wise. I would think there'd be a lot of teams would pick up the phone on a Krejci call.
And there's also this. So in Krejci's deal, it has an interesting clause in it. This is the last year in the deal that he has a full no movement clause. Starting next season, he has to pick 50% of the teams in the league and provide the list to the Bruins.
Oh, God.
The half of the league that he would go to. So the Bruins can basically say to him, listen, we're moving on from you. We don't want you here anymore. We're going to trade you. You better say yes. And if he says no, they say, fine. Well, we'll trade you as soon as next offseason. And he'll be playing a year here with them saying to him, we don't want you. We're going to trade you as soon as we can. And at that point, most players just say, oh, fine, just trade me then. I want to go somewhere where they want me.
Yeah.
That's what 99% of players do. I don't see the no movement thing getting in the way. Hey, we don't want you. We want to trade you. Well, then I obviously don't want to be here anymore when your employer tells you we don't want you here.
But I think overall it's a good situation. I mean, you kind of laid it out from the beginning. The Bruins are in on Tavares. They're going out there right now to lay it all out and see how things look. So, A, they recognize the value of getting a guy like that. They're willing to do it. They know what it's going to cost. They're willing to have the conversation anyway. And your worst case scenario is that they don't end up getting him, but you hang on to Krejci. And that's not bad. No one here is saying that Krejci. Well, a couple of callers have said, fine, I'm done with that guy. I'm not done with Krejci. I think Krejci's a fine player, can still contribute. However, if moving him means that you'd be able to get Tavares, then yeah, I'd be in favor of that.
Exactly.
But the scenarios all lay out pretty well for the Bruins. They're in on them. Good. They should be in on them. Probably be able to make it work if he decided, yep, that's where I want to be. Great. Let's make that happen. If it doesn't happen, okay. I'm still in pretty good shape.
Logan in Middleborough on the Bruins. Hi, Logan.
How you guys doing?
Hi.
I was just calling touch base. You know, you guys are talking about Chris Kelly. You guys didn't like him.
Hardy loves him.
I was a big Chris Kelly fan.
Okay. And, I'm sure Chris Kelly actually won. He was on the Cup team, right?
I don't
yes,
know.
Yes, and
in 2011,
yep,
yeah.
He was.
Yeah, I know he was there in 13.
Okay, a bit more.
Yeah. You need guys like that on your team. I mean, I play hockey high up, so I know this. You need a guy like that, a locker room guy. You're saying, oh, a locker room guy. Cool, we're going to pay him to be a locker room guy. Well, you absolutely need that on your team to win a Stanley Cup. You see it with Washington.
Yes.
They didn't have their best team this year, but they had locker room guys. They had the right guys, and that's what ends up winning you a championship. Hockey's not like a basketball or it's just one guy can do it. It's a team game where you need guys in the locker room. That's
teamwork,
actually going to help you win.
I'm with you on this, Logan. I'm with you on that on all sports. It's never helpful to have jerks in your locker room. Never is helpful. In hockey, it's hard to find the jerks in hockey. They're mostly just a lot of good guys that play hockey.
Well, there's a lot of good guys, but who's the leader in the room? And joke, if you will, for a fourth liner who is as much enforcer as he was hockey player, Sean Thornton, he was a guy in the room.
But you didn't pay him $6.5 million.
Didn't pay him $6.5 million, but his value to the team was as much as what he did on the ice, maybe even more so as what he was like in the room for those guys.
I don't even know why we're arguing about this. All I'm saying is that those who have defended Backes say that he's a good for the room, which I say great, but he's also $6 million and you could clear that space.
It's people rushing to my defense because I'm likable and you're not. And it was your disparagement of me for my support of Chris Kelly.
Correct.
That's why it became a thing.
Chris Kelly was overpaid at the end too. Matt's in Wilmington. Matt.
Hey, how we doing, guys?
What's up?
Good. I was just curious as to why this name needs to be kept anonymous so much when you can just basically pretty much Google it and find out the guy's name written right in the police report.
Have you done that?
Yeah, I mean, I'm not going to be the one to say it over the air.
No, I hear you.
Just simply go on, type in the 533 grams of fentanyl arrest, Lawrence Mass, and the guy's name pops right up into the thing. It tells you all about him, what happened, and where he's from, and how old he is. Then you can go back and put his name in to the arrest that was back in, I think, 2008 or 2009 it was in New York. And, I mean, it's pretty much right there.
Interesting.
Computers.
Tricky thing.
2018.
What? Oh.
Everything is
available.
That's the
year. Yeah, no, it is.
That's
2018. Yeah, I get what he's saying. I don't know. I mean, if you want to do the legwork, maybe I will. Maybe I'll look into it.
Yeah.
Maybe there's more to be seen here. More to Hanley's buddy. I can already see Hardy kind of grimacing at what he's seeing on the screen. You finding something?
When you Google fentanyl and Lawrence.
Oh, there's 400 stories on it?
There's a lot of stuff there, and that sucks.
Take you 3 weeks to read it.
It's just not good. No. Yeah, but I'm sure he's right. Yeah, you can find out the name. And just like the Red Sox could find out right away, and I'm sure did find out right away after this went down, and the guy FaceTimed Hanley from the side of the highway. You don't think some cops somewhere somehow got word to somebody else who then got word to somebody else in the Red Sox organization, told them what was going on? Oh, well, that's unfortunate that happened, but okay.
You could be so naive to think that they didn't know.
Yeah, so the Red Sox knew, but then they also were willing to keep the guy on the team and keep playing as long as he could play. But once he got into that 0-for-21 slump and they realized, oh, yeah, if he gets enough plate appearances, we're going to owe him $22 million next year. What are we doing? And, oh, by the way, this story is going to come out at some point. So, yeah, let's just go ahead and forget about all this.
Yeah,
right,
let's
now.
Make that
let's
move right
just
about
designate
now.
Him now.
How does that sound? J.D. Martinez upset at the world. We'll tell you why coming up after these headlines with Sarge.
Sports Hub Headlines.
Start with some Bruins news here. Both The Athletic and TSN Canada reporting that Islanders free agent center John Tavares will meet with the Black and Gold this week. He's also set to meet with his current team, the Islanders, and the Tampa Bay Lightning, San Jose Sharks, Toronto Maple Leafs, and the Dallas Stars. Patriots wide receiver Julian Edelman in New York today to have the appeal of his 4-game suspension heard by the NFL. And it is an off day for the Red Sox. Yesterday, 5-0 shutout win over the Seattle Mariners. Chris Sale got his 7th win of the year, 13 strikeouts for him. Sox back to work tomorrow when they take on the Angels in the first of 3 at Fenway Park. MLB Network reporting at this hour, the Yankees set to place catcher Gary Sanchez on the 10-day DL as he's dealing with a groin injury. World Cup final today, Uruguay, 3-0 shutout win against Russia. They win Group A, and they'll play the runner-up in Group B, Saudi Arabia, winners over Egypt, 2-1. In Major League Lacrosse, Boston Cannons, winners over the
New York Lizards 16-14 over. And the Major League Lacrosse All-Star Game is this Thursday at Harvard Stadium. Headlines are brought to you by Wendy's. Wendy's new 4 for $4 now has more choices than ever. I'm Mike Riley on Boston's Home for Sports, 98.5 The Sports Hub, your next update in 30 minutes.
Without Zolak and Bertrand, your workday is just pushing papers and eating lunch.
What, is there a problem?
With Zolak and Bertrand, it's pushing papers, eating lunch, and talking sports.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Way better. Zolak and Bertrand, 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Or jump on board. Feel free. Like Kevin in Foxborough on Hanley Ramirez. Hey, Kevin.
Hey, guys. I've been a little confused the last couple of days. Feel like I'm hearing something different every day. Did the traffic stop happen before or after they DFA'd him?
Before.
Okay, so it definitely did. I heard it happened after, so that makes it a little more clear.
It happened apparently in April.
Oh, wow. Oh, I thought it was like last week or something.
Nope.
No, it was a long time ago.
Nope.
Oh, wow. Thank you.
Okay. Good?
There we go.
Yep. Glad we could clear that up for Kevin.
A little information
the indictment, there. Yep. The indictment came down the second week of June. June 8th, I believe?
June 8th.
Okay. The indictment against the other individual who the U.S. Attorney's Office is asking not to be named. But as our caller said a few minutes ago, it's not hard to figure out that name. He was indicted June 8th. So that was all going on leading up to that. Got that covered? Good?
Yeah, we're all good.
It's hard to find that information because they put a press release out with his name in it.
Yeah. Yeah.
A couple weeks ago.
Assuming it's the right name. Assuming that is the case. Right? Because they have not confirmed that that's the individual.
No, that's true. There could have been multiple that day.
Could have been. There's also a discrepancy in the Globe report and that press release as far as where the traffic stop happened. Right? Globe story says that, the FaceTime call that had happened. The man was stopped by state police in Western Massachusetts in April after an informant to the DEA tipped them off that this person would be delivering 2 kilos of cocaine to Massachusetts. So for a guy who, again, just suddenly found a box of drugs on the street corner in the Bronx, the DEA had an informant who said, no, he's going to be transporting that on this day from here to here, just so you know. That says Western Massachusetts. That press release you say that you mentioned, Jim, says Methuen. That is not Western Massachusetts. That's a town over from Lawrence.
Yeah,
so maybe it's not the same.
It's western to something, but not Massachusetts.
Yeah, it's west of Lawrence.
It's west of Western Mass.
I mean, for some people, it is Western Mass. You know, they don't like to be more than 5 miles from the ocean.
I was going
to
say, it's west of the Atlantic Ocean. That's about it.
Right? Oh, it's out in the boonies.
It's west of Halifax.
No, Framingham is not the boonies. Yeah, it was way out in Western Mass.
Halifax is South Shore, though.
I'm impressed that they could get enough signal out there to do a FaceTime. Out in the boonies like that, you need a pretty strong signal in order for that
again,
FaceTime
again,
to
this
go
is
through.
This is the take that the world ends, that it's flat and you fall off the edge once you get outside of 495. It's like a big cliff where you tumble, you know? Yeah, what happens when you drive that far? You fall into the Quabbin and you drown.
they still have dinosaurs out there?
That's like what happens. 617-779-0985. Meanwhile, J.D. Martinez has done a couple of stories in recent days where he's given a long list of quotes and aired a bunch of grievances because he's got a big problem with how things are going in Major League Baseball. He's talking about what could have been collusion in the offseason. He didn't use that word. But here's how he described the offseason, in which he signed a $110 million contract with opt-outs after years 2, 3, and 4. Quote, it was a joke. The way this whole baseball thing is going, to me, it's a shame. Baseball is shameful. The way the league is operating is a shame to J.D. Martinez.
Well, what part of it, Beetle? Not the whole league. What is he referring to?
Well, free agency. He says, I think free agency really opens up a player's eyes to markets out there. And the business side of it, which is the ugly side. Right, the business side that paid him $110 million is the ugly side. This a guy who was just a few years ago cut by his team and out of baseball and was given opportunities to keep fighting his way back to the tune of $110 million. This is a guy who could never play, could get hurt tomorrow, never play another game, and get $110 million. He says, when you're young, you really don't know any of that. Once you start getting into the dollars, you start talking about that. Then you start seeing the teams come out and say how they really feel about you. For some reason, he says, the media wants to lower your value. You see it all over MLB, and you're like, dude, what did I ever do to these people? He says it's very fishy. The people who say it and who they work for and stuff like that. So you read that and you're like, who is he talking about? Who is he mad about? And that's when you go over to Chris Smith's story, Christopher Smith of Mass Live. You read his story from last week with all kinds of quotes from J.D. Martinez. Do you know who he's talking about? He's talking about Ken Rosenthal, now of The Athletic, also of Fox Sports. Ken Rosenthal had the report in the offseason that said Martinez was fed up with the Red Sox before he had signed. He says, Martinez, I'm sitting there and I'm going, what? Who says this? Martinez then called agent Scott Boras after hearing Rosenthal's report. Quote from Martinez. He's like, they're going to say what they want. They want a reaction. If you react, it's almost worse. So he says, it's crazy that the media can say whatever they want. And everybody believes it. And he says, Rosenthal's report came out of nowhere. Quote, I'm waiting to see Ken. I haven't seen him all year. I'm just going to ask him, where did you get that from? That's what he wants to do. He wants to know where Ken Rosenthal got the report that he was fed up. Which, after hearing all these quotes from J.D. Martinez about how fed up he was with the offseason process, sounds entirely believable.
It sounds like he's fed up now, so there's reason to believe he was fed up before. And it is crazy. You know what? Now that I think about it, it is crazy that the media is allowed to say whatever they want. You can go with reports, and you don't have to name your sources, and you can just put stuff out there that's
true.
All that First Amendment stuff, that is nuts. That is crazy.
Maybe he's upset
operates.
He downplayed it.
Not only that,
I'm not just upset at the Red Sox. I'm upset at the whole system, the whole league,
everybody,
all the media, everybody.
He's mad at the system, the league, the media, MLB Network, Ken Rosenthal, the teams that said things about him. What else is he mad about? He's mad about not being a superstar, that he should be a superstar by now and he's not.
He's probably mad he dumped his old agent for Scott Boras and still didn't get what he should. Probably thought he would have gotten.
Burn. In case you didn't know that story, J.D. Martinez had an agent who he had and who stuck with him through the times when he sucked and got cut. And then all of a sudden, he got good. And what did he do? Fired his agent.
Well, that's part of the dirty side of the business. That's the ugly side.
Oh, would you call that the dirty money, dollars and cents side of the business?
That's part of the ugly side of the business, yeah.
Hey, buddy, it's a gritty world out there.
Yep.
I'm going to the clean side. I'm going to hire Scott Boras.
Oh, of course. Yeah. The cleanest guy in the game. On MLB Network, pretty much all the important stuff gets filtered through to MLB Network. And even on the stuff that comes out on there, it's all lies.
It's all lies.
It's all lies. MLB Network, fake news. God. Fake news.
And again,
it's all lies. Like the most harmless of networks, by the way. Like, they wouldn't know a hard, biting opinion other than maybe Mad Dog Show every day. That is a harmless network when it comes to that stuff.
I mean, to think that this guy thinks is what stands as injustice or unfairness or dirty side. You play Major League Baseball. You got the best union in all the sports. Guy, you just signed a $110 million contract to play baseball
fully
for
guaranteed.
5 years. Fully guaranteed. And you can opt out of it several times.
To go get more money.
Ugly.
The dirty. Ugly
side of the business.
Baseball's been so unfair to J.D. Martinez.
Well, it's just...
It's been so unfair to him. I feel bad for him, don't you? Don't you feel bad for J.D.?
What was the word that he used?
Oh, poor J.D.
Cry me a river.
Poor J.D. Martinez. It was so sad. Oh, baseball's been so crappy to him. It's been so bad for him. I do feel bad for him. I'm starting to understand where he's coming from on this. More on JD.
What you call a four-win player?
Yeah, but remember that?
Oh, last year, Martinez had a barrel percentage
I forgot about
of 12.3%.
He was a free agent when that happened. That's what's his name? Brian Kenny, who gave him the full-blown ball washing on MLB Network.
All basically lies. Means he's
all
crushing the ball
lies.
12% of the time.
Oh, good memory, Jim.
But if you look at the WAR per 650 plate appearances.
All lies, according to JD. Baseball has been screwing him since day one. How sad. More on that. More on Hanley as well. Calls, open line, 617-779-0985.
Hot takes.
I am Superman.
Oh, yeah.
Wrong song.
Oh. Zoe and Beetle, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Jackie Bradley now, good day going, 2 for 2. With a pair of singles.
I mean, when's the last time he walked to the box 2 for 2 in a game? It's been a while. So that's got to feel good. And, you know, he just needs to put a couple games together, relax a little bit, and you got to forget about that average. You'd love to see it at 200, though. I mean, that's... There we go.
Look at this. Center field. That is going to drop in. He's 3 for 3. And turning in a really nice day for JBJ.
Doesn't crush this ball. It looked like a slider that got in on him. It didn't hit the... Not square on the barrel, but didn't have to. Makes up for some of the line drives they were caught.
That was during yesterday's game, a 5-0 Red Sox win. Very enjoyable game, if you watched that one yesterday. And it moved. 2 hours, 40 minutes. That's how baseball should be played. 2 hours and 40 minutes. Put a time limit on it. That was Jackie Bradley Jr.'s at-bat, in which he collected his third single of the day. Now, Eck is pretty critical, right? He's not someone that sugarcoats things. He's not someone that ever holds back. As we know, Jackie Bradley Jr. has had a problem with Eck in the past for being too hard on him. This is how bad Jackie Bradley Jr. has become. That he puts together three singles, and Dave O'Brien and Eck sound like Little League parents cheering from the stands. That he got his third single of the day. I mean, I heard this, and I was laughing out loud.
You'd love to see it at 200. Oh, yeah. I mean, that's, there we go.
All right.
Center field. Yeah. He's going to drop in. He's 3 for 3.
Oh, JBJ, am I right? That's what's happened. That's what's happened here. The expectations have become so deranged, I guess. And reality is so far from where Jackie Bradley is, that he can now go have three singles in a game, and he's got these guys up there in the bottom, like, all right, attaboy, Jackie! Getting that much closer to 200. He's batting 167 for the month.
I give credit to Eckersley, too, because Jackie Bradley Jr. is the other guy that I will not forget about who pulled his stunt with Eckersley, and credit to Eck for not taking every opportunity to crap on him and it showing a little bit of professionalism and moving past it. Because as far as I'm concerned, I just wouldn't speak. If it was still my job and I was still collecting a paycheck and it was part of the gig to go in there and comment on baseball games, I would just remain silent about Jackie Bradley Jr. Tough to do with David Price. He's going to have to talk about that.
Of course.
Because the guy's on the mound. But for Jackie Bradley Jr., you could say nothing during most of those at-bats
yep.
and get away with it. But he's not. He's providing commentary, so I give credit to Eckersley for that.
This was buried in a story with the San Francisco Chronicle. But the Red Sox have inquired with other teams, and in this story, it was the Athletics. They're looking for an outfielder. They, according to the story, the A's have been trying to add starting pitching depth. And according to sources, they have discussed possible deals with Boston, which is looking for outfield help and which unsuccessfully asked about Mark Canha. There is a chance the teams will revisit things as next month's trade deadline approaches.
What do the Red Sox have to offer in the way of that would help Oakland with their pitching depth?
I don't know. Maybe they move someone like Drew Pomeranz. Maybe they move, I don't know, to someone on the back end of the rotation. Steven Wright. Name a guy.
I didn't think Steven Wright would be...
You want Porcello? He's a Cy Young Award winner. What are you looking for?
Got a Cy Young.
Yes. Could be any of those guys. I don't know. Anyone who isn't named Price or Sale is who I think they could be looking at.
Well, I don't think they would... despite his start at the end of the night, I don't think they're going to do anything with Eduardo Rodriguez. I could... Steven Wright? I think Steve, you think it would be an attractive get for Oakland and everybody looking for depth? I suppose. He can go in there and give you innings. And it could be Pomeranz. All right. All right. There's a couple. But as far as the Red Sox go...
And I'll tell you this. Mark Canha, lifetime average, 238. Huge offensive upgrade.
Love to see him over 200.
So that's what they're looking at, an outfielder. They're inquiring about outfielders elsewhere. What's that tell you?
They're looking for outfield depth, Beetle.
He can play center. I don't know how well he plays center, but he has played center.
They're just looking for depth. That's all it is. Just want some options. Of course. I'm getting ready to move on from Jackie Bradley Jr. Come on.
617-779-0985. Let's go ahead.
I do feel better about him, though. Back to your point where you were first talking in the beginning of the show, feel better about that. Because of, not just because of a win, but because of the Yankees, too. And the Yankees blowing a golden opportunity to really, really put their foot down a little bit and establish themselves as the cream of the crop in the AL East. Did not do it.
They blew it.
Totally blew it.
The Yankees had a chance, an opening. They had three games with the Rays to open up and blow open the AL East, and they failed. They got swept. And now their catcher is hurt. That is what a fabulous weekend for the Red Sox if they did nothing else other than watch the Yankees. And now it's flipped. It's flipped since Thursday. I was starting to feel on Thursday a little nervous. Because going into the weekend, I thought, oh boy, here come the Yankees. Comeback win. They win in emotional fashion. The Red Sox here are dropping their first two games in Minnesota with Price and Sale on the mound. And now the Red Sox have Seattle and they have Tampa, and there could be some separation. Wake up on Monday morning, everyone's got a fair share of the American League East.
Yep.
Wow. Great turn of events here in the last few days. Dan in Salem. Hey, Dan.
Yeah, I was actually, it'd be better if Zoe was there today, because I know he'd be critical of Jackie Bradley Jr., but he was like number one Jason Varitek defender for years when it was like, yeah, the guy's hitting like $1.50, but, you know, he's like a good leader and he plays good defense and blah, blah, blah. And I think like a lot of that could be said about Jackie Bradley Jr. You know, I mean, he's still, quality player. I think, I don't know, he was hitting not too long ago, but anyway, LeBron to Boston, it's going to happen, Beetle.
Okay, that call was all over the place.
Did he say Zoe was a defender of Jason
Varitek at the end?
Huh.
The ultimate smorgasbord call.
Hmm. I don't ever remember Zoe talking baseball. At some point, he defended Jason Varitek?
I don't think that's true, actually.
You would know better than I.
Yeah, I don't think that was true.
That would have required him to talk Red Sox.
He liked Varitek getting into it with A-Rod.
That makes 14 more sense.
Years ago.
Yes, that I can see him talking about. Yeah, that one I believe.
Yeah, but I can totally see his take being like, yeah, I like him, though. Got into it with A-Rod. What? Zoe, it's 2012. That's not relevant anymore. Nah, still like him. He's going to like Joe Kelly forever.
I know, but...
He likes Joe... He defends Joe Kelly now whenever he can.
Because he fought.
Man, Joe Kelly's had a good year, so it's not hard to do. Nice. But I'm telling you, when Joe Kelly goes to absolute crap, his number one defender is going to be Zoe. Yeah, I like him, though. He's got an edge.
Remember the amount of time we spent looking for his nipples that day?
He has them.
He does have them.
Yeah, and like all things.
But there were conspiracy theories about whether or not he had nipples. And if it, And the belly button is the real thing. If you don't have a belly button, what are you, an alien conceived elsewhere? What? Think about it.
617-779-0985. Right back to your calls in 90 seconds. So if you're on hold, hang tight.